Morning, church. Buenos días. Well, we are in the last sermon on the second coming of Christ. And I hope that you are learning, and not only learning, but excited and expectant about this powerful event. So today, the sermon is on the church rapture. And it's important to understand these principles and what going through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation to teach and learn about this powerful sermon. Let's read it together so we keep diving in. One, two, three. Wow, that's a very powerful promise, which for us, remember this, as you process this, before Christ, people, the only hope that people had was, okay, I will die and go to heaven and see Christ. For us, after the cross, it's different, because we not only have this hope that everybody has before, but now we are also in the expectation of the church rapture, which is a very powerful event that you're going to. I know you know about this, but most people, especially in the 21st century, we don't preach and teach about this powerful subject anymore. And I want to correct some misconceptions that we have, because yes, we have the return of Christ, but it has two phases. And the church rapture is what the Bible teaches, that is imminent. It can happen at any moment, even right now. So if you are awake or sleepy, doesn't matter. It can happen right now, in the moment, and it's powerful. So we need to be with this expectation and living our life with a readiness that Christ is coming back again. So the misconceptions that we have, number one is that heaven and hell are final destinations. So the concept here is just to remind you, as you study the scriptures and the second and the latter days and the late days and Jesus teaching about the end of the days, heaven and hell are two temporary places. So we should not be aiming to go to heaven or aiming, even though some people don't believe in hell, hell is there. But just the reminder that these places are temporary places. This is not final destination. So for the believer, just to be looking at heaven, heaven, heaven without experiencing Christ and God here on earth first, and then knowing that heaven is a temporary place, will help you to see the whole picture that Jesus is teaching us and giving us. So do you believe that heaven is a real place? Okay. Do you believe that hell is a real place? Okay. This is good. I'm in the right church then. So here it is. After you study this, I want to encourage you to pay attention to this. If you can take a picture of that, it would be awesome. Okay? So Jesus had this in mind when he was teaching the disciples. He was using the ancient wedding ritual to teach about this in a way that it was easy for them to understand the process and the difference between the rapture and the second coming, which is the second misconception. People confuse the two, like the rapture and the second coming of Christ are the same. No, they are two different events, and we need to reflect on that. Now, I come from the Hispanic culture, and in the Hispanic culture, when you have a wedding, the father of the bride don't pay for anything. Awesome. Because I have four daughters now. And then I come to America, and people are changing stuff on me. No. If you, the father of the bride, have to pay for stuff. I said, I was not expecting this, and God keeps sending me daughters and more daughters and more daughters. It's a sabotage. I don't know what is going on. You know, but I hope that God will provide, and He's Jehovah Jireh that will provide for those weddings when they come. One of my daughters, Katie, she's about to turn 15, and in the Hispanic community, the 15 is a great celebration. It's almost like a mini wedding, and it's very expensive. So now I'm getting calls. Hey, are you going to pay for this? Are you going to pay for that? Yeah, we're paying for stuff. And this is just this is just the 15th celebration, and now I have Sulami's coming after, and then Brenda is coming. I mean, I'm telling you. So it's huge. But it's important to understand now the American culture in terms of weddings are closer more to the Jewish tradition, ancient Jewish weddings tradition, than the Hispanic culture is. But let's look at this. So you have the cross. Christ came. Christ died on the cross. He died for our sins. How many of you believe that? Okay. So between the cross and what we call the tribulation, we see the great tribulation, 7 years of tribulation on earth. And out of those 7 years, 3 years are time, 3 years of peace and 3.5 years of tribulation and pain. So, but between these two, you have the what we call the present heaven, right? As we know it, the present heaven. And before those two events, the cross and the tribulation, we have the rapture. Then after, at the end of the tribulation, then we have Jesus' return, what we call the second coming and the actual feast and the war and the judgment and the feast. And at that point, and I thought about before, you can go back and watch those on Facebook, on YouTube, that you have the great throne judgment, the great white throne judgment, and you have a 1,000 years in the millennium. Jesus Christ is coming and ruling the earth for 1,000 years. And then you have the great white throne judgment, and hell and the seas will give their death. It's in the book of Revelation. And you have the judgment, the final judgment. So hell is a temporary place, because at the end of the millennium, hell will give their death for judgment. Then you have, after that, you have the new heaven, or the future heaven, as I call it, the future heaven at the end. So you have these powerful events happening. And the way Jesus was teaching about this, was he was teaching about the Jewish wedding ritual, where first you have what they call the pledge or the betrothal. And that happens where the parents come and seal. It's a legal binding ceremony where they seal the wedding. So even though they don't have a feast, it was a covenant that they do. And once that is done, you are pledged to your husband and you are for him. You cannot change. You cannot get out of that covenant. That's why in Matthew 1, when Mary got pregnant, after she was pledged to Joseph, it was a big deal, right? That's why Joseph was planning on divorcing her and everything. So now you have that. And after the first phase, which is the pledge or the betrothal, then the next step was the groom's preparation. You have the groom preparation and the bride preparation. Now, how the groom prepared for the wedding? Well, after, at that point, the groom will go back to his father's house and prepare a chamber, prepare a room in the father's house for his bride. The key element here is that only the father will say, because it's his house, when the room was ready. So the groom has to be preparing, and it took a lot of time getting ready, preparing, waiting for the father to say, go and check and say, the room is ready. At that moment when he says the room is ready, you can go for your bride. Now the friends of the groom will go ahead and begin to announce that the groom is coming, the groom is coming, the groom is coming, and the groom will steal the wife for 7 days and go to his father's house and stay there in this room that they prepare. And after a period of time, they all come back for the actual feast. Okay, that was the ritual. Now, when you see this, you're going to see the same pattern here. So you have the cross. Now Jesus is coming for his bride, the church, and then going to John 14. So I'm going to, in John 14, this is what he says in John 14. Jesus was teaching the disciples. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If there were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. So that's the preparation, right? That's the first phase. Now, when you keep going and you keep learning about this, Then you have these two different events, the rapture and the second coming. So the rapture is more connected to the first phase of the ancient ritual where the groom will come and get the bride in secret and then come back for the second coming, which is the actual feast. So now, let me put this in plain practice, how this look like in the scriptures, so you have these principles as you remember the difference between the two. So in the rapture, you have what we call transubstantiation, or the transformation of the believer. We have been reading that in the last two Sundays, that we will be in the air with Jesus and our bodies will be transformed. All the believers will be transformed. Now, different from the second coming. In the second coming, there is no transformation. Christ will come. Christ will come and judge the earth. There is war. There is judgment. There is the millennium. No one will be transformed. Rapture. Saints go to heaven. So Jesus is coming in the air. Just read it in 1 Thessalonians 4. He taketh his church, all the saints, all the believers, to heaven, the present heaven. Second coming, saints return to earth. In the second coming, when Jesus comes to judge the earth before the white throne judgment, he comes with the saints. Three, then the rapture is imminent. It can happen at any moment. It can happen at any time. The second coming, it will be easier to discern because it will be at the end of the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation on the earth. Now, rapture affects believers only. It means that if you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are a believer, he's coming for you. Now, what church is? Is the Baptist church? Is the Methodist church? Is the Pentecostal church? Is the non-denominational church? Is the church of Christ where he's coming from? So we are not in the business of determining what church is truthful. That's not for you to decide. You and I should be doing what? Worshiping Jesus, obeying the scriptures, following Christ, living a holy life, staying away from sin, living a repentant as a lifestyle. And as we do that, we are part of the true church. And all believers will meet Jesus in the air. The second coming affects everyone, meaning that when he comes, every eye will see him. Every eye will experience Jesus face to face, not only the believers. The rapture is in secret. The second coming is public. Next, the rapture happens before the day of the wrath, before the great tribulation. You have the rapture. And now the second coming concludes the tribulation. It happens after the tribulation. The rapture, we're going to meet Jesus come in the air. So he will be in the air and bring everybody up. He will not touch the ground. In the second coming, he come into the earth, and he will not only come, he will rule and judge, and he's the beginning of the millennium. In the rapture, Jesus come for his bride. He's coming for his bride. Again, go back, and I encourage you to read and learn about the ancient Jewish tradition for weddings and see that this is part of the first part. He's coming for his bride, his church, the global church of Christ. In the second coming, he's coming with his bride. So he's coming now to judge. He's coming with the church to judge in the earth. Is that powerful? Are you receiving this? This is powerful. This is powerful. The rapture, only the saints will see him. So only the saints will see him. It will be secret. In the rapture, you see Jesus. Hallelujah. Awesome. Everybody else is wondering what happened. In the second coming, there's no questioning. Nobody has to question anything. Every eye shall see him. And we are now in the season where we can see everything in real time. So we need to be ready and watch and pray. The rapture, the great tribulation begins. After the rapture is a way of God honoring the church, so we don't have to go through the great tribulation because we have belief without seeing. It's a reward for those who believe. In the second coming, the millennium begins. When Jesus comes, he has this, the Armageddon war, and after that, he conquers and he rules the earth for 1,000 years, and we'll be ruling with him. Now, the transformation. Let's talk a little bit about the transformation of the believers. It's important. I taught and I've been teaching that we actually have three parts, right? First Thessalonians 5, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Say it with me, I have a body. Say it like you believe it. I have a body. Touch yourself. Okay? I have a soul. You cannot touch that. And I have a spirit. You cannot touch that either. So you are twice bigger inside than you are outside. So what God is saying here is the transformation. When you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and seals you with his presence. At that point, your spirit is dead. Now it's alive. You are transformed. Now, the body, when you die, dust go to dust, right? But the soul is being transformed daily as we keep pressing forward, believing, watching, praying, fasting, participating in communion, being baptisms. All those stuff is transforming and purifying and sanctifying our souls so we can see and meet Jesus and be with him forever. But the transformation here that I want to focus today is about the body, the transformation of the body. That's the last part of your whole being that will be transformed. The spirit is transformed in the moment. The soul is being transformed even right now. And your body is there with the flesh, all this battle. But when you die and you leave this body, it's over. God will give you a new body. Here is the power of this. How these bodies look around. I mean, it's this idea that with the rapture, the body of the believers first will be transformed. It said that those who die in Christ will come to life first and then us, right? So when we talk about this, Philippians 3:20, that's what he says. He says that we are citizens of heaven. This is a good Bible verse to remember during election time. Yes, you are a citizen of America, but you are first a citizen of where? Heaven. So breathe. Breathe and remember your citizenship first. Is you are a citizen of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are what? Eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into what? Glorious bodies like what body? Like his own. That's powerful. So then we can now say, okay, how the body of Jesus look like? How this body look like? If I'm going to have a body like Jesus' body after the resurrection, how this body look like? My body will be changed into a body like Jesus' body. So what does that mean? Number one is, this body has flesh and bones. You can taste, you can feel, you can see, and hear. And so it's like Luke 24, 39, and 40. Jesus is teaching and saying, hey, I'm not a ghost. You can touch me. A ghost doesn't have a body like I am. Touch me, right? So this idea that you are in heaven and you are a spirit and you are a ghost, there's no ghost. Hello? Once you are transformed, you're going to have a body. Spiritual glorified body like Jesus did. You can touch. You have bones. You can feel it. Number two, we will be able to eat food. Luke 24, 41, 43, Jesus is saying, I'm hungry. Cook me a fish. And he was what? Eating. The good news, especially for women, you can eat whatever you want. You will not get fat. Okay? So you can eat food. Jesus did. We are also going to be able to do that. We will be able to recognize each other. It also says in Luke 24, 31, read it at home, that the eyes of the disciples were open and they were able to recognize Jesus. Okay? So you are going to be able to recognize your loved ones, your shared family, your siblings, everybody. You will be able to know who they are. Now, you will love them all equally. There's no such a thing as I'm rejoicing more because my mom showed up in heaven or my sister or my brother than I'm rejoiced when another person that is not my father. No, you rejoice equally because now you are full with the love of Christ. There's no difference. There's no distinction. But you will be able to do what? Know who people are. Okay? Our bodies will not be subject to the natural laws of time and space. Jesus was moving from one way to the other. He appears to the disciples. He appears to Mary. He was showing up in places even though the doors were locked and closed, which means that when we are experiencing Jesus in the rapture, we are not going to be tied to this ceiling or anything. You just go through and pass and go places with no problem at all. That's the body of Jesus. Now, this reunion with Christ is very important because as we reflect on all of this, we have this joy, this joyful experience with Jesus, this anticipation, the assurance that he will come back to earth and get us. And when we reflect on 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 54 to 54, that's why the Bible is teaching us now in the New Testament through Paul. This is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15. First, he's talking about the difference between our natural bodies and our spiritual bodies. And then he goes into this and he says, but let me reveal to you a what? A wonderful secret. This word secret in the Bible, in Greek, is the word mysterion. It means, doesn't mean like it's a mystery, like movies in Hollywood. Okay? It's spooky. Halloween, no. Secret, mystery, means something that has been kept as a secret since the beginning of the world. And what he's saying, that he's referring to the fact that God has been revealing to us since the Old Testament. He has been revealing to us that Jesus is coming, but also that the rapture is a real event, and the rapture actually will happen, and he showed us that before. And you, if you read Genesis 5, 24, this is what it says. It says in the Old Testament, this is what it says. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because God took him. Genesis 5, 24. So Enoch didn't experience death. He was walking so close with God, and it says God took him. He was no more. Then in 2 Kings 2, 11, talking about Elijah, the great prophet, was taken up into heaven, carried off in a chariot of fire. He didn't experience that either. So you have all these pictures, and now Jesus is taking the teaching, and Paul keeps teaching us that we should be in this expectation, in this honoring that God is giving to those who believe in him. And he's explaining how this will happen. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. So Paul was hoping that the rapture will happen while he was still living. Then he says, and we who are living will also be transformed. So our body will be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that what? That's why we can experience judgment forever. You can experience heaven forever because you're going to have a body that will not die. Then our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die. This scripture will be what? Fulfilled. So it's a fact. It's a fact. And I know that, I'm looking forward to a new body because this body, I just turned 50, and now I'm doing like this, and then I was doing this, and now I'm doing this. And I finally said, you know what? Go and buy some reading glasses, man. So this body is decaying. It's just a sign of what is coming, okay? I'm just 50. So this body will decay. So we have this anticipation that Christ will give us a new body. Now, what is the call to action, church? Watch and pray. This is not for you to be in fear. Those who have a relationship with Jesus know Jesus. Jesus knows your name. You have a testimony of the Holy Spirit in your spirit that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit is testifying to your spirit that you are a child of God. There is no fear. But it's important that we know the one that is coming from us. And if we believe that, let's encourage and urge other believers to stay vigilant and to wait on the Lord and practice these disciplines to bring intimacy with God and spend time with him. Number two, If you believe this prophecy, then it's time to do what? Share the gospel. Don't go around like nothing is happening. People are dying every day. So it's important that we share the gospel and we take every opportunity that we have to share the gospel with people without imposing them, but into them anything, but sharing the gospel out of the responsibility that we know that this day will come. So we encourage people. We desire to see more souls saved and added to the kingdom of God before Christ return. Last piece for this call to action. Live with eternity in mind. Know that what you see, what you're experiencing right now is temporary. That doesn't matter what is happening in the Church of Christ right now. There is a promise that Christ will come for his church. And the church is triumphant. Nothing can stop the church. Not the government, not people, not persecution. Nothing can stop the Church of Christ. He's coming for his church. He's the head of the church, not the pastor. And the church will experience his presence. Doesn't matter what you do and what I do. Doesn't matter how much you complain. Doesn't matter what you said. Christ will sanctify his church and he will come for his church one day. And if you are part of that church, rejoice. It's not to be fearful, but it's to have eternity in mind. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we feel, remember eternity. Every action you take will ripple throughout eternity. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. So when he comes, will he find you watching and praying or complaining? I hope that when he comes, he finds you and me watching and praying, surrendering, believing, forgiving each other, loving each other with hope. Doesn't matter what is happening. Everything is temporary in light of eternity. So let's read together this quote. 1, 2, 3. And that's why we have the table of the Lord, to eat, have strength. And I remember the prophet Elijah, who didn't experience death. The angels gave him a message, and they said to Elijah, Elijah, drink and eat, because the journey is long. So I want to invite you to drink and eat, because the journey might be long, or it might happen even now, the second coming.